Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're going on a deep dive into beetle research.
Oh, cool.
Straight from Turkey.
Awesome.
We'll be looking at a 2018 scientific paper.
Okay.
And the title's a bit of a mouthful, so bear with me.
All right.
Click beetles, Coleoptera, a latter day, from two areas with hollow oaks and plane trees in Turkey.
Wow, that is a mouthful.
I know, right? But don't let the title scare you away because it's packed with fascinating discoveries.
Like what?
Well, they found three completely new species.
No way.
Yeah. So get ready to explore the world of click beetles and their unique homes in these ancient trees.
I'm excited to learn more about that.
Me too. We'll also be talking about what these discoveries mean for biodiversity as a whole.
That's really important, especially these days.
It is. What makes this research so cool is that it focuses on these old, hollow trees.
Right, like the oaks and plane trees.
Yeah, those ones. They've been around for centuries.
They really are impressive.
I know. But they're not just impressive to look at.
What do you mean?
Well, they also create these little worlds inside of them.
Oh, you mean like microhabitats.
Exactly. And they're home to all sorts of creatures, including our click beetle friends.
So it's like these trees have secret apartments for all kinds of tenants.
That's a great way to put it. But sadly, the paper points out that these ancient trees are becoming less common.
Oh no, why is that?
It's mainly because of how we manage forests.
That makes sense. Fewer old trees means less habitat for those creatures.
Exactly. And that's why this research is so important. It helps us understand these beetles better so we can protect them.
It's like we're trying to solve a puzzle, and each new piece of research helps us see the bigger picture.
I like that analogy. So let's get to the specifics. Where did they actually go to find these beetles?
Okay, so they focused on two locations in Turkey.
Okay.
One was Kavada National Park, where they were studying beetles living in plane trees.
Makes sense.
The other location was the Kapıcadas Peninsula.
Okay.
And they focused on oak trees there.
So two very different types of habitats.
Yeah, it's fascinating to imagine the landscapes in these two places.
Right, like in Kavada, you've got these plane trees surrounding a beautiful lake.
I'd love to see that.
Me too. And then in Kapıcadas, you have these dense, shady oak forests.
Ooh, that sounds mysterious.
It does. And get this, some of the trees they studied were massive.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We're talking some seriously big trees.
How big are we talking?
Well, they measured trees ranging from 1.8 meters in circumference to a whopping 9.3 meters.
9.3 meters? That's enormous.
Right. I can't even imagine standing next to a tree that big.
How many people would it take to hug a tree like that?
It would have to be a group hug, for sure.
So how did they go about studying the beetles in these giant trees?
They used two pretty clever techniques.
I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
First, they set up window traps right on the tree trunks.
Ah, to catch the beetles as they crawl up and down.
Exactly. And then they also used pitfall traps.
Which are?
They're basically containers that are buried in the ground, in this case, in the soft wood mold inside the tree cavities.
So the beetles fall into them and can't get out.
You got it.
Clever.
Right. And they did all of this trapping throughout 2012 in Balıkesir, and then again in 2015 in Isparta.
Wow, that's a lot of dedication.
It is. So what did they find? Did anything really stand out in their results?
Oh, definitely. First of all, just to give you an idea of the diversity, there are over 495 known species of click beetles in Turkey.
Wow.
Right. So finding something new is actually a pretty big deal.
Okay, that makes sense.
And you know, these beetles have these fascinating life cycles.
Mm.
Yeah, they're larvae, which are often called wireworms.
Wireworms.
Yeah, you'll know why if you've ever seen one.
Okay.
They're really slender and kind of hard-bodied, and they live in the soil or in decaying wood.
Interesting.
And many of them are predators, meaning they feed on other insects and larvae.
So they're like tiny pest control agents.
That's one way to look at it. They play a vital role in keeping things balanced in those ecosystems.
So give me the highlights. What were some of the coolest beetles they found?
Okay, well, in Kavada National Park, they found a species called Stenogastes zurichkeri.
It's a mouthful.
It is. And get this, they only caught it once.
Really? So it's a pretty rare find.
It seems so. They also found these two other species, Elethis emrei and Elethis nereae.
Okay.
And what's cool about these is that the same research team actually discovered them back in 2011.
No way. Talk about being in the right place at the right time.
I know, right? It's amazing. Then there's Nothos parvulus, which they caught in both types of traps.
So it's adaptable.
Seems like it. And then there was a later Turcicus, which they also discovered back in 2011.
Wow. They made some major discoveries.
They have. This one is a bit of a giant, reaching up to 22 millimeters long.
22 millimeters. Wow. For a beetle that is big?
It is. And if you want to see what it looks like, there's a picture of it in the paper, figure 9.
Oh, cool. I'll have to check that out.
You should. Okay, last one from Kovada is Melanotis belixirensis.
Another one with a long name.
I know, right? These Latin names can be tough.
They can. What's special about this one?
This one was new to science when they discovered it in 2014.
So that's 3 new species discovered by the same team in just a few years.
Pretty impressive, right?
It is. Okay, so what about the Capidaz Peninsula? What did they find among all those oak trees?
Well, one interesting find, there was a species called Stenogastus rhombeus.
Oak.
And what's notable is they only found it in that location.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, which suggests it might be very particular about where it lives.
Makes sense. So each location has its own unique set of click beetles.
It seems that way. But I'm sure you're wondering about those 3 brand new species you mentioned earlier.
You know me too well. I'm dying to hear about those.
Well, that's where things get even more exciting.
Can't wait.
It really is like finding a hidden treasure. You know, when you think about those researchers combing through those forests, setting their traps, and then boom, a beetle nobody's ever seen before.
I can only imagine the thrill of that moment. Like a scientific eureka.
It must be pretty amazing. So are you ready to hear about these 3 new species?
Absolutely. I'm all ears.
All right, well, let's start with Cardiophorus covidi.
Cardiophorus covidi.
As the name suggests, it was found in Kovada National Park.
Okay, makes sense.
It's a pretty striking beetle, completely black body, lighter legs. But here's the thing that makes it truly unique.
What's that?
It's the details of its reproductive organs, or what scientists call the adygus.
Ah, the adygus.
Yeah, it has this unique shape that sets it apart from every other click beetle we know of.
So it's like, even though they might look similar on the outside, it's those tiny details, those little internal differences that really define a species.
That's a great way to put it. And for this particular species, they only found a male specimen.
Really?
Yeah. Makes you wonder where all the females are hiding.
Maybe they'll be the stars of a future research paper.
Maybe. So, okay, on to the next one.
Yeah, let's hear it.
This one is called Ampetus cariziensis, and it was discovered over on the Capidaz Peninsula with all those oak trees.
Oh, cool.
It's got a pretty stylish look, too, I'd say.
Really?
Yeah, it's got this two-tone thing going on, black body with reddish wing covers.
Ooh, fashionable.
Right, and the researchers were lucky enough to find both male and female specimens for this one.
Awesome.
And they noticed some pretty interesting differences between the sexes, too.
Like what?
Well, they differed in size, the length of their antenna, and even the curve of a section right behind the head called the pronotum.
You know, it's amazing how much variation you can have even within a single species.
It is. It's like each beetle has its own little personality.
Okay, we've got one more new species to uncover. What's the last one?
All right, this last one is also from Capidaz, and it's called Ampetus erdeki.
Ampetus erdeki.
This one is a real showstopper. I gotta say, black body, bright reddish orange wing covers.
Yeah.
And then just a touch of black at the tips.
Wow, that's a cool color combo.
It is. They only found a male for this one too. And like the first species, it was the unique shape of its adygus that gave it away as a brand new species.
That little adygus is really important for identification, huh?
It really is. It's like a beetle's fingerprint.
You know, it's just incredible to think about these beetles living in those forests probably for centuries. And we're only just now discovering them.
It makes you wonder how much more is out there just waiting to be found.
It does, and it really highlights just how important these habitats are.
Exactly. You know, we were talking earlier about those ancient trees being important habitats. Well, these discoveries just drive that point home even more.
Right. If we lose those old trees, we risk losing entire communities of creatures, some of which we haven't even met yet.
And each location having its own unique beetles just reinforces the idea that these microhabitats are super valuable.
It really underscores the importance of protecting these ecosystems. So what can we do to make sure these beetles and all the other creatures that rely on these ancient trees have a future?
Well, for starters, we need to raise awareness.
You mean like let people know about these amazing beetles and the importance of their habitats?
Exactly. People need to understand that these old hollow trees, they're not just deadwood.
Right. They're teeming with life.
They really are. And they're so important for the health of the entire forest.
So it's about changing our perspective, seeing these trees not as something to be removed, but as something to be protected.
Absolutely. And we also need to advocate for sustainable forestry practices that prioritize preserving these old trees.
So instead of seeing them as obstacles to be cleared, we should see them as treasures to be cherished and protected.
I love that analogy.
Me too. But, you know, awareness alone isn't enough. Right? We need to take concrete action. So what else can we do?
Well, creating protected areas specifically for these old growth forests would be a huge step in the right direction.
Like national parks, but for ancient trees.
Exactly. It would ensure that those habitats remain intact and provide safe havens for all those species that call them home.
I like that, but those are big picture solutions. What about something we could do on a smaller, more individual level?
Well, citizen science can play a huge role.
What do you mean?
Imagine if people all over Turkey or even all over the world were out there observing and documenting these beetles.
Like everyday people contributing to real scientific research.
Exactly. There are already platforms where people can upload photos or observations of insects they find.
That's a great idea, sort of like crowdsourcing for conservation.
I like that. And that kind of data can be so valuable for researchers who are trying to understand these beetles.
So we've got awareness, sustainable forestry protected areas, and citizen science. What else is in our conservation toolbox?
Research is always key. The more we understand about these beetles, the better we can protect them.
Right. We need to know things like where they live, what they eat, how they reproduce, and what threats they face.
All of that information helps us develop more effective conservation strategies.
It sounds like we've got a lot of work to do.
We do, but it's exciting work. You know, imagine a world where these ancient trees are seen as vital parts of the ecosystem.
And where communities are actively involved in protecting them.
And where new discoveries continue to inspire us to learn more about nature.
That's a vision worth fighting for, speaking of fighting. I've always been curious about the click and click beetles.
Oh, yeah. What is the deal with that?
Is it just a cool name or is there something more to it?
Oh, it's way more than just a name.
Wow.
It's their secret weapon.
A secret weapon?
Yeah. You got to imagine this tiny beetle comes face to face with the predator.
Okay.
What's going to do?
I don't know. Play dead.
Well, some might, but click beetles, they've got this other trick.
What is it?
They've got this special hinge on their underside.
A hinge?
Yep. Connects their thorax to their abdomen.
Okay, so like their middle part to their back end.
You got it. And when a predator comes along, the beetle can snap that hinge with a lot of force.
Really?
Yeah. Launching themselves into the air with a loud click.
So they basically have a built-in trampoline.
That's a great way to think about it. It definitely startles the predator and helps them make a quick escape.
I bet. Who wants to eat a beetle that just went flying?
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't that clicking mechanism help them with something else, too?
You're thinking of when they get flipped over, right?
Yeah.
You have a good memory. They can use that same hinge to right themselves if they end up on their back.
That's so cool. So it's multi-purpose.
It is. Defense and acrobatics all in one.
That's amazing. Okay, we've talked a lot about the adult beetles. What about their young?
Ah, the larvae.
Yeah. What are click beetle larvae like?
Well, they're often called wireworms.
Wireworms, why that name?
If you've ever seen one, you'd know why.
I haven't. What do they look like?
They're slender and kind of hard, and they live in the soil or in decaying wood.
So kind of like earthworms then?
Kind of, but they're not actually worms.
Right, they're beetle larvae.
Exactly. They're helping to break down all that organic matter.
Okay, so they're like the underground gardeners of the forest.
That's a nice way to put it.
But didn't you say earlier that many of the adult click beetles are predators?
Oh, yeah.
What about the wireworms?
Many of them are predators, too.
Really?
Yep, feeding on other insects, larvae, and even small invertebrates.
Wow, so even in their larval stage, they're helping to keep things in balance.
They are. They're a really important part of the ecosystem.
Well, I have to say, I feel like I've learned so much today.
Me too.
We've journeyed to the forests of Turkey.
Found some amazing new beetles.
And even uncovered the secrets of their clique.
It's been quite the adventure.
It has. I want to thank you so much for taking us on this deep dive into the world of click beetles.
It's been my pleasure.
And to all our listeners out there.
Yeah.
The next time you're out in nature, keep your eyes peeled for these clicking wonders.
They're out there.
You never know what you might find. Until next time.
Happy exploring.
Keep exploring, keep learning, and keep clicking.